Radio Prague News.
Water levels have started to fall in southern Bohemia and other flood-hit regions of the country, but more downpours are threatening. Officials have said the bill for flood damages will top 5.6 billion crowns. Farmers across the country have blocked roads in protest against the low prices they are paid for milk. Water levels of swollen rivers began falling across the country on Monday, but flood danger warnings continued to apply in three regions, southern Bohemia, Olomouc and Moravia and Silesia. Furthermore, forecasters have warned of more heavy rain and storms, especially in the south and east of the country. Prague began erecting flood barriers on Sunday. South Bohemia was the latest region to be hit by floods, which have claimed at least 13 lives. Floods hit the region on Sunday, with over 800 people evacuated, power cut and transport disrupted. Costs for flood damages in southern Bohemia and central and northern Moravia have been estimated at more than 5.6 billion crowns. The figure has been calculated by staff of the Central Flood Commission. Staff did not fix a precise figure for the latest damage, but reckoned it would exceed the bill for floods in 2006. The spring floods that year affected seven regions and caused nine deaths. Farmers across the country blocked motorways with tractors on Monday to protest against low prices they are being paid for milk. One of the biggest protests was in the central Vysočina region, where around 400 tractors and lorries blocked the central D1 motorway. Farmers are currently being paid around 6 crowns for a litre of milk, which is sold in shops for three times as much. A year ago, they were paid 9 crowns. The agricultural chamber has warned that up to 20,000 cows might have to be slaughtered because dairy farmers cannot make ends meet. Caretaker Prime Minister Jan Fischer said on Monday that the Czech Republic would hand over the EU presidency to Sweden after fulfilling its agenda. Mr. Fischer drew attention to the success of the EU summit this month, which lined up leaders behind current EU Commission President Jose Barroso for another term and thrashed out assurances for Ireland ahead of another referendum on the Lisbon Treaty. The Prime Minister also highlighted Czech moves to put relations with non-EU countries in Eastern Europe on a new footing, to prioritise energy security and curb the impact of the world economic crisis. Sweden takes over the helm of the EU from the start of July. The weather. The start of the week will see overcast skies with rain showers and storms. Highest day temperatures should not exceed 26 degrees Celsius. I'm Chris Johnston, and that was the news.
Hello, you're listening to Radio Prague with me, Rosie Johnston. Coming up in the show today, the Czech Republic embarks upon a clean-up operation after some of the worst floods in recent history and with the threat of more rain still looming large. Farmers hit the motorway in their tractors to protest against cheap milk, and a seminal petition which fueled the demise of communism in Czechoslovakia celebrates its 20th anniversary.
At that time we didn't realise how important event this was, how important development, and that it will lead eventually to the fall of the communist regime.
All that and even more coming up, so be sure to stay tuned. Clean-up operations are underway in the southern and eastern parts of the Czech Republic, which were hit by heavy floods in the past few days. Although water levels are now receding around the country, the danger is far from over, with meteorologists predicting more heavy rain into the week. Daniela Lazarova has been following developments and joins me now in the studio. So Daniela, firstly, what's the situation right now?
Well, Rosie, it's been a dramatic weekend with the floods spreading to the southern parts of the Czech Republic, though southern Bohemia was not as hard hit as the regions in the east, that is in Moravia. Even so, these floods have taken a heavy toll, 13 dead, hundreds evacuated and billions of crowns in damages. We've seen collapsed houses, destroyed roads and people in a state of utter desperation. Now, the Czech Republic has seen frequent flooding in recent years, but what's unusual about these floods is the speed with which they struck. Towns and villages were hit with practically no advance warning, which explains the death toll, 13 people dead. There were and still are 750 firefighters and 1,000 soldiers helping in the field. And in many cases, we're told they saved lives at the 11th hour, smashing windows to bring old people out of houses and even families with children who failed to hear the sirens in the middle of the night. So without their help, things could have been a lot worse.
But can we hope that we're now past the worst of it?
Well, we can't be sure. More torrential rain is predicted up until Wednesday and a flood alert remains in place. In fact, flood barriers are now being installed along the Vltava River in Prague, although there is no immediate danger. But it's hard to say really where the floods may hit next. The ground is no longer soaking up any water, rivers are swollen, and all it takes is just 2 to 3 hours of heavy rain to start a new flood. Some of the towns that have been flooded don't even have a stream. So, of course, right now people are watching the skies with great concern and piling up sandbags to try to protect their property from further damage.
OK, despite the remaining threat, it seems like a clean-up operation is already underway. Do we have any indication of the amount of damage that's been caused?
Well, it's early days. We've heard a preliminary estimate of over 5 billion crowns, but it could be much higher. Right now, there are insurance companies out there doing their work. Houses are being slated for demolition, so we'll have to wait and see. In any case, there has been a huge wave of public solidarity. People are making donations. They're giving both financial and material assistance. The government has earmarked 99 million crowns in emergency aid. That's more than $5 million. And it said it's ready to increase the state deficit in order to deal with the effects of the floods. There have even been offers of assistance from Slovakia and Hungary, which were gratefully declined. The authorities say that they do have things under control for the time being, but let's just hope that we really have seen the worst of it.
Yep, let's indeed hope so. Daniela Lazareva, thank you very much, and we'll let you know with more bad weather predicted how that situation develops. Now, high water levels are not proving the only disruption to traffic on Czech roads this Monday. Czech dairy farmers took to the highways Monday morning to bring the nation's traffic to a snail's pace for 2 hours, protesting against the critically low purchase price of milk and what they see as a lack of political will to do anything about it. Nearly 2,000 dairy farmers overran 20 highways in 7 regions. It was the second protest in as many months, aimed at forcing what the farmers say is a desperate situation into the public eye. Christian Falvey has more.
It only took about 200 tractors to bring the Czech Republic's highway system to a near halt. The issue? The plummeting purchase price of milk, which is forcing dairy farmers across the EU to sell for well below production costs. Jan Veleba is president of the Czech Agrarian Chamber, which organized the blockade.
We've run out of patience in the Czech Republic. We are the only developed livestock breeding country that even after months of negotiations has yet to receive any promise from our politicians, who are just turning their backs to the situation. So we're protesting to make Czech politicians realize that car scrapping taxes and banks are not the only issues of the day. Dairy farming is the most important branch of agriculture, and it has gone into decline.
The recent fall in the purchase price of milk in the Czech Republic has been precipitous, from 9 crowns per litre to 6 in 1 year. The Agrarian Chamber worries that the rate of that decline will see 20,000 dairy cows slaughtered by the end of the year and a corresponding growth in unemployment. The low price of milk lost Czech dairy farmers 4.5 billion crowns in the first half of 2009 alone. According to Mr. Veleba, the collapse in dairy prices can be put down to a number of factors, the global economic crisis being a secondary impulse.
It's the fault of the European Commissioner of Agriculture and the poor farming policy of the EU. It's the result of the EU having given up on a vast number of global markets in 2008, markets in butter and dried milk in particular, with a double-digit decrease in the percent of exports. That's the first reason, the second being the global economic crisis.
The main focus of the farmers' ire is the Czech Interim Ministry of Agriculture, from whom they demand a minimum purchase price on milk. The ministry, however, says that it has already taken steps in its one-month tenure to ease the situation. The National School Milk Program, cancelled 2 years ago, has been renewed, and nearly 1 billion crowns from the so-called Barroso package for economic stimulus is to go to the modernization of the milk sector. Hugo Roldan is chief of communications at the Ministry of Agriculture.
The ministry definitely thinks that these measures can substantially help the farmers. It is necessary to say that we are part of the European Union, so whatever kind of help we can imagine have to be approved by the European Commission, which is not an easy process. And it is necessary to take in account also that the farmers, not only in the Czech Republic, but in the whole European Union, are operating in an open market. So the laws of the demand and the offer of commodities have to be respected as well. So the Ministry of Agriculture is taking this range of measures to help the farmers, but the farmers themselves have to come with new approaches and have to come with alternative ways in order to help themselves too.
The protest is by no means a Czech initiative. 1 week ago, Western European farmers similarly hijacked a Belgian highway, causing a 12-kilometer queue into Brussels. And 2 months ago, Czech farmers were joined by their colleagues from neighboring countries, resulting in 8,000 farmers on Wenceslas Square, many with cattle in tow. Should the current protest fail to achieve the desired result, farmers have threatened to lay siege to warehouses of retail chains who they say abuse a privileged position on the market.
Christine Falvey with that report. If you've just joined us, you're listening to the International Service of Czech Radio, Radio Prague, where in a minute it'll be time for all of the week's sports news, including the latest Czech success at Wimbledon and the appointment of a new FA head. That's coming up, but first it's a look back at a historic document which piled the pressure on the communist authorities during the last days of totalitarian rule in this country. In June 1989, a group of people around the dissident and future president, Václav Havel, put together a petition to the communist authorities asking them to stop oppressing freedom in the country. Over 5 months, more than 40,000 Czechs and Slovaks signed the Několik Viet petition, fueling the demise of communism in Czechoslovakia. Jan Richter has the story.
Ano, mohli bychom ty lidi, bych řekl, nějak tak blíž ukázat, co jsou to zač, jací jsou.
The head of the Communist Party of Czechoslovakia, Miloš Jakeš, speaking to party leadership in July 1989. He denounced as anti-socialist all those who signed Několik Viet, or Several Sentences, a petition addressed to Czechoslovakia's communist authorities. More than 40,000 people signed the appeal between May and November 1989, making it the most successful petition put forward by the country's opposition movement. One of the reasons behind its success was the fact that the Munich-based US-sponsored Radio Free Europe broadcasted on daily basis the names of people who put their signatures to it. Olga Kopecká was at the time the editing director of RFE's Czechoslovak section.
At that time, we didn't realize how important event this was, how important development, and that it will lead eventually to the fall of the communist regime and so soon. But of course, it was very interesting that people were beginning not to be afraid to add their signatures to a petition like that.
Several Sentences demanded the release of all political prisoners, the lifting of the ban on public gatherings, and the end of the criminalization of the opposition, among other things. The document also asked for the removal of all political control of the media. The communist daily Rudé Právo justly noted in a dismissive article that if these demands were to be fulfilled, the country would in fact no longer be communist. The petition emerged after Václav Havel's release from prison in late May 1989. He and a group of friends and fellow dissidents realized the time was ripe for nationwide action. The petition soon began circulating even outside dissident circles. Music critic Jan Rejek was one of the most active signature collectors.
I proudly admit that I was the one who rushed things. The plan was first to show the petition to certain people who we knew would agree with it. Only after we would hear about what they thought, the plan was to draft the final version. But when I saw that the people reacted with great enthusiasm, I pressured for the petition to be released.
Several Sentences was not the first or the last petition to be put together in the final year of communist rule. But as Jan Rejek points out, what made people join was that many celebrities at the time signed it too, including singers and actors who regularly appeared in the communist-controlled TV and radio.
The famous names did play an important role. I would always refer to them. When someone hesitated, I would say, "Look, when Zagorova and Bartoshka signed it, why won't you?" The authorities reacted in the same stupid way. They wanted to ban those artists from the public life, but to no avail.
By the summer of 1989, communist regimes in East Germany, Poland and Hungary had already begun to crumble. Former RFE journalist Olga Kopecká says that they would normally think twice before broadcasting the names of people who openly stood up to the regime, but this time people were no longer afraid.
Well, we felt that since they put their signature to such a petition that they were aware of the eventual danger, and since we had the permission or even the request of the dissident movement to publish this, so we thought that this was okay, because it was time that people of Czechoslovakia would express their feelings about the situation.
Olga Kopecká, the former editing director of Radio Free Europe's Czechoslovak section, ending that report by Jan Richter. Now, as promised, with the news of all of the weekend's sporting activity, both on and off the pitch, here's Jan Wellinger.
And we begin first with football. A revolution in Czech football is how many observers are seeing the election of former Sparta midfielder and highly respected coach Ivan Hašek as the new chairman of the Czech FA. On Saturday, delegates from the Czech and Moravian chambers voted overwhelmingly in his favor over the only other contender for the post, Lugik Vinč. Key Hašek associates were also elected to top posts, giving the new chairman plenty of room to maneuver. Mr. Hašek, who has promised change, will now have to tackle key questions, including finding a new head coach for the national football team. The team has been in the doldrums in qualification for the 2010 World Cup, and Mr. Hašek has made no secret he would like to see the league-winning Slavia coach Karel Jarolím succeed František Straka. It's obvious, though, that the team faces an uphill struggle, needing to win 4 matches to retain any chance of reaching the World Cup. Mr. Hašek made clear at the weekend that focusing all efforts on qualification was now a top priority. Czech tennis players Tomáš Berdych and Radek Štěpánek are in the 4th round at Wimbledon. Both players compete later on Monday, Štěpánek against Australia's Leighton Hewitt and Berdych against 6th-seeded American player Andy Roddick. Both matches take place after the recording of this program. To make it to the final 16, Radek Štěpánek had to win a difficult 5-setter against Spaniard David Ferrer. Down by 2 sets, he nevertheless kept at it, fighting his way back into the match.
I never lost confidence that I could win, and I wanted to win after having made it this far. I think I served really well in the 5th set, and the last 2 balls were almost miracles, which proved decisive.
Meanwhile, Tomáš Berdych made quick work of Russia's Davidenko in straight sets to also advance. If both Czechs prove lucky in the 4th round on Monday, they'll face each other in the quarterfinals. In hockey, only 3 Czech players were chosen in the 2009 NHL draft, reflecting a continued drop in interest in Czech talent in recent years. Draft picks of Czech players peaked in 2001 at 31, but have gradually fallen since. Andrej Nestrašil was 75th overall and was picked up in the 3rd round by the Detroit Red Wings. Other players picked up were Roman Horák and Tomáš Vincour. Observers say that the chances they'll be able to break into the NHL are less than optimal. Critics at home, meanwhile, contend that many young Czech players simply aren't taking hockey seriously enough, saying that the sport has become secondary to other interests. Others argue that the country is missing a rise of real talent, criticizing the Junior League, for example, of having too many teams and too few quality players. And finally, on Sunday, Ondrej Polivka won the European Championships in the modern pentathlon in Leipzig, Germany. The 21-year-old Czech took gold in his first ever appearance in the European Championships individual event. It's the second gold medal for the Czech Republic in the modern pentathlon in 7 years. I'm Jan Wellinger, and that's the sports news for today.
Now, in the last part of our show today here on Radio Prague, it's time to don your cowboy boots, dust off your banjos, and listen again to what happened when Jan Richter met Czech bluegrass legend Robert Christian shortly after US President Barack Obama's visit to Prague in April.
Czech bluegrass has a long tradition going back to the 1960s, but it took several more decades before it was acknowledged and appreciated in the land of its origin in the United States. Our guest in this edition of One on One is Robert Křesťan, the banjoist, lead singer and the founder of a bluegrass legend, the band Druhá Tráva, which formed in the early 1990s. Their latest album, Dylanovky, features a song by Bob Dylan, translated into Czech by Robert Křesťan. He and his band played some of these songs when they set the scene before the public speech of the US President Barack Obama at Prague Castle earlier this month. Mr. Christian, how did it feel to play at this unusual venue?
Well, it was a great honor, of course. The performance itself wasn't a pleasant one because of the sound, but it was a great honor to be this near to the President of the United States.
Did you meet him before or after?
No, we didn't.
How did you get the gig?
Well, I'm not sure. 2 days before the performance, somebody from the U.S. embassy called and asked if we are able and willing to play there. And we say yes, of course.
You formed your band in 1991 after many years of playing with another legend of Czech bluegrass, the band Poutníci. Did the communist authorities make life harder for you for playing what might be considered American music?
Of course they did, but not as hard as they did for another kinds of music, like rock and roll music, underground music, alternative scene and stuff like that. We were able to play, at least because they saw bluegrass music as music of an ordinary man, you know.
Bluegrass and country and folk music in general were extremely popular during the communist regime. Lots of people went to see the concerts, the famous festivals in Poznań attracted large crowds. What do you think was so appealing about this kind of music for general public during the communist times?
It was an American music, for starters, and it was because of so-called tramp movement.
The name of your band that you formed in 1991, Druhá Tráva, means second grass in English. The reference to bluegrass is clear, but what is second about your grass?
You know, at that time we split it with Poutníci and formed the Druhá Tráva band. And at that time it was our second door to the music.
Was the transition in the early 90s, was it difficult for musicians like you from the times when lots of people came to see your shows and after, you know, people started to have different interests?
It was different. It was a little bit difficult for us, but we were very busy forming our new band and playing a new kind of music for us. And we were, at that time, very, and we still are, very enthusiastic about what we are doing. So I cannot remember. It was harder. It was great.
During the 1990s and early this century, you regularly toured the United States with your band. How do people react to your music when they hear a band, bluegrass band from a country some of them know nothing about?
The reaction is generally very warm and loud, and sometimes it's because of our music, and sometimes it's because of we are exotic for them.
Do you have a favorite place where you prefer to play in the United States? Is there any part of the United States where you're received more warmly than in other places?
Yeah, I think it is. Our favorite place is East Texas and South California.
Your latest album, which appeared in 2008, is called Dylanovky, or that could be translated something like Dylan songs into English. How did you get from bluegrass to Bob Dylan?
I listened to Bob Dylan since I remember, you know. First, I like his music, his voice, and then when I started to understand English a little bit, I started to love his words, his poetry. And Mr. Dylan himself is a bluegrass lover. So I think this kind of connection is very natural.
Apart from translating Bob Dylan's lyrics into Czech, you have also translated several novels by various American authors, including William Eastlake and Norman Mailer. The novel Love in the Ruins, or Láska v troskách, in Czech by Walker Percy, has just been put out. How do you choose the books you want to translate?
Well, generally, I choose it myself. I read something in English, and I want to share it with other people. That's why.
You said in an interview I read in 2007 that the book by Norman Mailer you translated was going to be last one. Now there is another one. Are you working on anything right now?
Well, I'm a great liar. Well, I'm translating a book by Norman Mailer called Marilyn, about Marilyn Monroe.
When will your fans in the United States have next a chance to see you and your band perform live?
Well, this year in September and early October. I think it's going to be Minnesota, Colorado, Texas, New Mexico and California.
Thank you very much, Mr. Christian, for talking to Radio Prague. And here is Senor by Bob Dylan, performed by Robert Christian and Druhá tráva.
Jan Richter with that rooting tooting edition of One on One, which was first broadcast on April the 20th of this year. And that's all we've got time for today here on Radio Prague. So for myself, Rosie Johnston, and the rest of the team here in Prague, it's thanks for listening and goodbye.
Vždyť tady jsem už byl, to je snad for. Mám pravdu, nebo magoří, senor. 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 Nevíte, prosím, kde se skrývá, kolik hodin, kolik dní nám ještě zbývá. Kdy z nás vůbec stáhnou tenhle flor? A bude nám tu líp než tam, senor. Do korby pošil vítr, až se třásla mříž. A nekakují vysal lidi nohy kříž. Pořád vidím prázdný náměstí a i ten den, jak tě objímá, šeptá mi, nezapomeň. Senor, senor, už zas vidím ten modrobílej auták a cítím oca zdraka. Tohle napětí mě ničí jako mor. Kdo mi tady pomůže, senor? Jako idiot, jako v magnetickým poli, neschopnej sehnout. A cigán blízko prstenem, řek máš dost. Tohle se ti hochu nezdá, to je skutečnost. Senor, senor, srdce mají prázdný jako snopy, dejte mi pár minut, než se vzkopím. Než zas v sobě najdu nějaký vzdor. Tak jak jste, jestli můžete, senor.